Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you all. And greetings to you all from the saints in Minnesota. This morning we overhear our Lord praying in the garden on behalf of his disciples, but also for you. Jesus prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I have made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate 150 years as a congregation, united by our faith in Christ, than by focusing on the prayer of our Lord, Jesus, asking God to grant us unity. The theme of this particular anniversary celebration is looking at Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. And as I read this text, I began to think about our present world and how things have changed throughout the years. This text is all about unity in Christ. But when I look at our modern world, it seems fragmented. It's lonely. And it's lacking unity. In many ways, it's very similar to the world that Christ entered into. The world has never truly been united. But there were other factors back then. People were separated by language, by distance, by geography. Today, those are no longer primary factors for our lack of unity. We're living in a modern age of incredible technology. Every one of us has in our pocket a device that is more sophisticated than the computers they used to guide the lunar lander on the moon. In our pockets, we have the ability to translate almost any language in a matter of moments. We have the ability to befriend people across continents and oceans. We can visit and chat with almost anyone through various video chats and social media sites. We have modern-day gifts that overcome the challenges faced by the early church. And yet we seem to be more divided and lonely than ever. A study done by the health company of Cigna found that the young adults ages 18 to 24 are the loneliest generation of Americans, more disconnected and isolated than even the nation's elderly. Another survey claimed that it was the baby boomer generation that was the loneliest generation. In my humble opinion, I think both of these surveys are probably right. We are living in a fractured and fragmented world. A world fragmented by our own sin. The reason they claim baby boomers are lonely is because they prize individuality. They tend to live alone. Many have been divorced or never married. Many are without living children. The reason, according to millennials, as to why they feel lonely is because they're constantly busy between school and work and other extracurricular activities. They don't have time, they say, to make those personal connections. But at the heart of it all is a lack of unity in Christ. We have made the individual more important than the unifying Savior. The standard by which the Christian church is unified is the eternal Word of God. The Word of God has come under attack in recent years. The belief of the early church was the Word of God is the source and rule of our faith. But now we have a fluid interpretation of God's Word that has influenced many church bodies in this country, leading them to abandon many teachings of the Christian faith. Our current political and cultural climate has had major impacts on the church, and as a resident of Minnesota, I can tell you that we are experiencing some major shifts in our state legislature. Things that have forced us pastors to identify as potential threats and to address them. And to add to the difficulty, there are many liberal church bodies who have sided with the culture and work with culture against Christ's church. We are experiencing things that people 150 years ago may have never thought possible. I don't think anyone 150 years ago would have been able to predict the rapid decline of churchgoers. Some studies suggest as much as 59% of church-raised millennials no longer attend anywhere. That's the modern world we face. But we shouldn't be surprised. After all, Christ did tell us in his prayer that the world does not know you, Father. When the focus is on the individual and what we do, it's easy to lose sight of Christ. But the other danger is becoming consumed with trying to fix the problem through our works, through changing who we are to be more appealing to culture. But in doing that, we lose our identity and our unity in Christ. And it's for that reason that we need this prayer of Christ now more than ever. Jesus says, "I do not ask for these only," meaning his disciples, "but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's you. "That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me." When I read this passage with my members, they always tell me it's so difficult to understand. They get lost in all of this unity language. I and you and me, and they and us. And I just remind them, that's kind of the point. We should lose ourselves in Christ. We should be so united with him that you can't tell where we end and Christ begins. The world should be able to look at us and see Christ. The purpose of this unity is not to bring glory to ourselves or to the individual members of the congregation, but to share the glory of Christ in the gospel. The purpose of Christian unity is to show the world that Jesus is sent by God the Father because he loved them as much as he loved his own son. And you may be wondering, how do we do that? And to help answer that question, I want to direct your attention to the theme verse for this anniversary. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you look at the following verse, it says this: "Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings." Some have falsely taught that in order to bring unity, we must make ourselves look more loving by conceding to cultural beliefs. We have to change the way we look. We have to change the way we worship. We have to change even what we believe. But this leads to disunity. It leads to these diverse and strange teachings. If we concede to culture, then we resemble culture, and the world does not see the true Christ of Scripture, but a false Christ made in their own image. Instead, I encourage you, remain faithful to the Christ who prays for you, because He knows that you will face tribulation and hardship on His behalf. Because you aren't like the rest of the world. Instead of giving in to culture's obsession of the individual in order to bring this false sense of unity, there is a need for the church to cling to Christ even tighter. Tighter than ever. Remember their identity in Him and in His gospel. This is one of the most beautiful things about Christ's church. You can come through these doors as a lonely, miserable sinner, another face in the sea of sinners, and the same Jesus who ate and prayed with tax collectors and prostitutes of yesterday welcomes you today. As you lay your sins at the foot of Christ's cross, as the Holy Spirit leads you to drown your old Adam in the waters of baptism and to repent of your sins and faith, you arise as a new creation whose identity is no longer defined by your sin, but by the grace of God. That is the greatest gift we can share with this modern world, this lonely and fractured world. You are not alone. In a world where earthly families are fractured by divorce, where people feel isolated and alone, we have a gospel that says you have an eternal Father who loves you as a precious child. He even calls you by name. He showers you with His love and mercy and grace. He loved you so much that He even gave up His only Son to take your place so that you wouldn't have to suffer or die. And on top of that, He gathers His children here in His church, where they continue to receive encouragement, forgiveness, and love. God has given His church a gospel that has the power to transform, the power to unify, the power to transcend culture and language and even time itself. He handed down this gospel to His beloved disciples, those He commanded, those who communed with Him, sharing in His own body and blood the same night He prayed for them. And it's the same gospel that we have been sharing for the past 150 years as members of St. John's Lutheran Church. As a son of this congregation, I give thanks to God for the faithful people gathered here. When I think back on my time, I remember many of the individuals who played a role in my life, from the teachers who patiently taught this shy little boy, the fellow students who learned alongside me, even the ushering team I served on before seminary. And if you ask Elmer Mosel or Bob Norton, they'll tell you that they taught me everything I know. I also give thanks for the faithful pastors who have served this congregation over the years. Pastor Bickle, who ate lunch with us in the fellowship hall, Pastor Schroeder, Pastor Nierman, pastors who have guided this congregation over the years, guiding, nurturing my faith and the faith of many others. But I think, the thing I think about the most, the thing I give thanks to God for the most, is when I think about St. John's, I don't just think about the individual members. I think about the gospel. I think about the peace and unity that Christ's gospel brings even to broken, fractured sinners like us. Over the course of 150 years, the most important thing has remained a constant: our unity in Christ. Never lose that. No matter what, for it's the most precious gift God can give us. If you read the About Us section on St. John's website, it says these words. It says, "We are not promised a trouble-free life once we become Christians, but actually have the additional cross to bear of the world's scorn because of our association with Christ. Yet we have the present assurance that we are God's, both now and forever, giving us a deeper joy which the world cannot destroy." My dear friends, may God continue to bless the faithful confession of the gospel here at St. John's. May He always provide her with servants up to the task of remaining united in Christ in a world that seeks to see her fractured or destroyed. May this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ unify our hearts and our minds for the glory of His gospel. And may our Lord grant St. John's another 150 years of faithful service. In Jesus' precious name, amen.